Well, I guess there's no announcement this morning. So, good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. My name is Deborah, a.k.a. Bubbly, and I will be your hostess for this morning. By chance, do we have any first-time callers? And if so, would you like to say good morning? All right, then we're all family. Well, online prayer requests this morning are as follows. The first one is for me. It's a praise report. Thank you for your prayers. My great niece, Shadell, has been released from the hospital and is healing well. God is a healer. Good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. This is Bubbly. Okay. The second prayer request online is also from me. My niece, Jakia, was in a car accident and had to have surgery. I'm asking the prayer warriors to pray that the surgery was successful and that she will heal, she will have recovery. Praying for the Jenkins family for strength through all of this. The third online prayer request is from Michelle. It's from Madison. Please continue to watch over Maddie while she has had a setback with anorexia. Pray for Michelle to continue to give me strength. The order of the call this morning is as follows. Rhoda will be reading the scripture. Our declaration will be by Brother Andrew. First prayer warrior is Carolyn. Second prayer warrior is Tiffany. Third prayer warrior is Pretty Patrice. And closing us out will be Elder Paulette. I will repeat that. Scripture reading will be by Rhoda. Our declaration will be by Brother Andrew. First prayer warrior will be Sister Carolyn. Second prayer warrior will be Tiffany. Third prayer warrior will be Pretty Patrice. And closing us out will be Elder Paulette. If you haven't already done so, please remember to place your phone calls on mute so that we will have a clear, distraction-free recording. You can use your star six or your standard mute feature. Please remember to mute your line. God bless you as I pass the call to Rhoda.
Good morning, family. Today I'll be reading from Matthew 17, verses 20 and 21, and it reads, "So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word as I pass the call.
Good morning, saints. It's indeed an honor and a privilege to come before you this morning and to serve our God by expounding and discussing his word. I want to thank Bubbly for her exuberant greeting and announcing this morning. She always brings the joy of the Lord to the process, and that's a great way to start because we should always be mindful of the aura of the Lord's joy because that is our strength. And for Rhoda for reading that scripture because that's always timely. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, and God gives us all a measure of faith from which we build upon that as we walk with him. So thank you, ladies. And I appreciate the ladies that are coming after me as warriors on the wall. This morning I want to come to you from two separate scriptures. And I want you to be mindful, won't be before you long, but I want you to be mindful of the difference between giving up and surrendering, because there is a difference. The first scripture I want to present to you is out of Mark, chapter 4, verses 36 through 40. "And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and they were also with him other ships. There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on the pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? The next scripture set comes from Jonah, chapter 1, verse 4. And continuing through verse 5. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearing, the reading, the understanding, and doing of his holy word. I want to compare these two instances with their similarities, and then we're going to discuss the differences. Similarities are the two men of God. We have Jesus, the Messiah, who has just begun his ministry. And on the other side, we have Jonah, already established as a prophet. Jesus was about his father's business, and Jonah, up to this point, was about the Lord's business. But the Lord gives him a dictum to go to Nineveh, the throne city of the Assyrians, and preach repentance. And Jonah was not having that. He didn't want anything to do with the Assyrians. They had stolen the 10 tribes and abused them all along the way, and he, in his heart, felt that they deserved God's wrath, not his loving forgiveness. And he would rather die than be a part of it. He was giving up. Jesus, on the other hand, was about the next stage of his father's business, and that took him to the other side. So he was in travel. Okay. That is a similarity. There was a great storm that came up on the sea, and you have two groups of professional seamen. With Jesus, you had Peter, James, Andrew, and John. They were professional fishermen. So when they looked at the weather on the water, they knew something about it. So if they were in freak mode, there was a reason for that. Okay, they weren't just being weenie. There was something to be really seriously concerned about, and they were. On Jonah's side, you had nothing but professional sailors who sailed the open sea, and they were in freak mode, and they were even trying to do what professional seamen did in times of a serious open sea storm, lighten the load, cast off some of the stuff in the hold, lighten the ship, so that it's more maneuverable. But that didn't work because a supernatural hand stirred up the storm on both fronts. With Jonah's case, it was the Lord himself. With the case in the book of Mark, it was Satan. So no humanly devised device is going to quell that storm or the ramifications of that storm on either side. Now, our men of God are both asleep during this time. The sailors are in freak mode, but the men who know the Lord best are completely asleep. In the book of Jonah, it says that he's fast asleep, not worrying about anything else because he gave up. He would rather die than go and do the Lord's last commandment. And so in giving up mode, he was perfectly okay with dealing with whatever came through because he knew that God would not have him just be disobedient, that there was a price to pay. He was willing to pay his life. So if the storm came up, so what? I'll drown. That'll be it. Okay, but God is in control, amen? And there was more to the story than that. On the other side, Jesus was asleep. He was surrendered. He fully embraced the will of his Father. His reason for being here was his father's will. He was here to do his father's will. He completed his father's will even unto the death of the cross and after his ascension, his holding on to those people that he protected, except for the son of perdition, that the scriptures should be fulfilled. So he completely did his father's will. And so being surrendered to it, he knew that it was not yet his time. He was there to die on the cross. This was not the cross, so nothing would happen to him. He was fully embracing that faith. Even though Peter, being the spokesperson, and the rest of the guys were wondering, like, why aren't you doing anything? Aren't you concerned about us? You may be fine with dying, but what about us? We don't want to die out here. And then he just went up to the deck and spoke to the storm. Whereas Jonah spoke to the men about the storm. He said, just throw me off, and as soon as you do that, you'll see a great calm, which is what happened. But here's where the differences come up. The reaction of the men on Jonah's ship, as soon as Jonah hit the water, the storm ceased. They made vows. They made sacrifices to the Lord Most High. Right at that moment, they praised him because they knew it was his hand and no other God operates that way, not that fast. Whereas on the boat in Mark, the disciples just wondered aloud, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Interesting. From there, let's talk about our storms in life. The storms are going to come. Whether God creates the storm himself, whether he allows a storm created by Satan, the accuser of the brethren, the father of lies, whether he allows that storm to come into our vicinity, the storm is going to come in our life. Our reaction is going to be based on how much faith we place in him who holds us. Because you can't just go through life willy-nilly hoping to make it to the next stage. You have to have your goals set. You have to have your vision in place, because without a vision, the people perish. We need to know who we are following. We need to trust in his direction and go. But Jonah gave up. Jonah was willing to be completely resigned to whatever was going to happen to him, because that would be better than the distress or the pain or the shame or the potential humbling that he would have to undergo to do what he was supposed to do. That was just too mind-numbing for it, and he didn't want to do it. You see that in people who are contemplating suicide, that the pain that they're experiencing is just too much. And we need to be mindful of that when we're reaching out to those people, that it's a matter of hope and faith. And just as the Lord can quell the storm in the book of Mark, he can quell the storm in their life too. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't want to surrender, because in surrendering to the will of God the Father, you have to risk being humbled beyond your level of comfort. You have to risk abandoning your heart's desire for his heart's desire. You have to risk the American dream for the dream of seeing souls saved and lives changed. And a lot of time, that since our time in this life is so brief, a lot of people can't embrace that. They can't get comfortable with that. They can't fall in love with that vision. But surrendering to God's will is the safest place to be, because, like I said, the storms are going to come, but that is where you meet the I am of the storm. The I am of the storm will surround you, will hover over you, and will protect you. And when the winds blow and the breakers dash around you, there will be a great calm in you. We call that peace. That peace that passes all understanding when everything is being torn up or blown away near you, it's surprisingly calm in you because the I Am of the storm surrounds you. He protects you. And you can sense his presence. Even if he's not speaking to you, you can sense his presence, and that presence is enough. For where the Lord is, where the presence of the Lord is, there is liberty. You are free from the tenets of the storm. You are free from the constrictions that the high winds give you. And it's a beautiful place to be. And yet, we resist going there, because in order to get to that point, the storm has to come in your direction, and it has to pass through you. And we don't want that. But the storms are necessary because other people are watching. Now imagine what happened after that storm in Jonah. They may not have seen Jonah ever again in their lives, but they went back to their homes knowing about the God of the Hebrews who made the sea and the dry land, how he quelled a storm. And they probably told that story in all sorts of taverns all over the known world at the time, of how the one God stopped a storm instantaneously. Because none of those guys would have seen that. And how much God was praised through those men's lips after that. We know the work of Jonah good. We can still read about it now. But the legacy of what those men did reminds you of the verse that Jesus said, I have sheep who are not of this fold, which hear my voice. And that's a beautiful thing, because the Lord will be praised. But we are sheep. We are sheep of his pasture. We hear his voice. And yet we crave the mountaintop experience. But I say to you this morning that when you climb the rough side of the mountain, it's tough. It's not easy. That's a storm in and of itself. And yet the grass doesn't grow on the mountaintop. The grass grows in the valley. And in order for you to get to that mountaintop experience, you have to have the strength that the grass provides to get to the top of the mountain. So you have to have the valley experience, whether you want to or not, whether you believe you need it or not. There are some things that are true whether you embrace them or not. They just remain true. Philosophers call those tautologies, obvious truths. And so we need the grass in the valley in order to have the strength to climb that mountain. And when we get to the top, that's when we have that experience, when we're closer to the presence from the struggle that we had to endure to get there. And so as I speak to you, having gone through my own personal storm, I'm here to tell you that surrender is so much better than giving up. There was a time when I wanted to give up, but I just trusted in the Lord's word, and his word is strong enough, his word is long enough, and his word is large enough to contain us and protect us. And all you have to do is just wait. And there is going to be a point of waiting. And the wait may not be comfortable, but you can be taking comfort in the fact that he promised. And as he promised, he will commit. And as he commits, he will do. And as he does, you'll see that his word is true. And he is not man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he will repent. And it's an amazing thing when you come through the other side of the storm, because people watch you. People watch how you react to the winds and the rain and wonder why you are still maintaining. But again, dealing with the presence, when you're in the I Am of the storm, when he came down specifically to deliver you, it's a beautiful thing. And you understand that you're not worthy. You understand that there's no reason for him being mindful of you other than he just wants to be. And he's coming down to affect change in your life because he desires your hand to work in his kingdom, on his project. It's amazing. It's amazing to be wanted. You know, we were created by a jealous God who craved praise. and demands it, but we also need to be needed. That's inherent in all of us. And when you connect the two together, it's fantastic communion. And we need him, just like he wants and desires us. And when I was in my storm, there were times when all I could do was just hurt. And I didn't try to wear it like a shroud, but I knew that when I cried out to him, I wasn't having a pity party, because he told me to be careful for nothing, but in all things, with prayer and supplication, make my request known to him, because he's my Father, he's my Abba, and I can come to him. I can crawl into his lap and hold him and shake, because my pain is so astounding, and I can't explain it to anybody else, but he understands, and he will help me endure, because I surrendered to him, because I know that he's not going to do anything that's going to be for my detriment. No matter how much it might hurt, it's there for my good, because he is all about my good. All I have to do is trust him. But the point from which you almost give up to the point where you fully surrender, you know, may take decades, may take years. It shouldn't, but it might. But when you transcend, then you can see the beauty of the Lord and his commandments and how the word just wraps around you and is your armor. And when you put on that full armor, that you can go out and do his will and be protected no matter what things look like. It's a beautiful thing to serve him, but you will have storms. But you're protected against the storm. You're protected while you're in the storm, because the I Am of the storm will come down to deliver you. And when you get on the other side, you can sing a new song. God has smiled on me. He has set me free. God has smiled on me. Surely been good to me. He's the God of all my joy, and he hears me when I call. I don't know what he is to you, but to me, he's my all in all. And that's why I sing, God has smiled on me. He has set me free. God has smiled on me. Surely been good to me. Selah. As I pass the call along to the first prayer warrior.
Father God, we thank you so much, oh Lord Jesus. We thank you for waking us up, God. We thank you for giving us a brand new day. We love you, God. We trust you, God. And we say thank you for waking us. Thank you for your hope. Thank you, God. Today,
your God. I'm so
you're
sorry,
you're
but
sorry,
you're breaking up.
Baby.
You're breaking up.
I'm breaking up, okay. Is that better?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Lord God, thank you for him. Thank you for that word on today. Again, I just want to give you praise and thanks. Thank you for Sister Julia, that she's feeling better. Her feet is feeling better, God, and you're just doing continually moving in her life and her body, God. Thank you for her obedience. Thank you for trusting, Lord God, in you. I pray for her family, for her family, and also pray for, I'm praying for Mother Dupree. bless her, God. Heal her, provide for her. I'm also praying, God, for the DB family, all of us. You know what it is that we need, God, and each of us on this line, our families who are represented. God, we thank you for taking care of us, for blessing us. Praying for Sister Dion. Bless her, God. Thank you for her son, graduation from boot camp. Thank you, God, for all you've done in that young man's life, God. Thank you for healing him, God. Thank you for protecting him and each of us and our children. Thank you, Lord God. Also, Lord, I just thank you this morning for the work that you're doing in us and giving us the desire and the power to do what pleases you. As Philippians 2:13 says, God, we thank you. We thank you, God, that whatever happens, you give us the power to conduct ourselves in a manner that is worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:27, God, we thank you for putting that thing down on the inside, God. We thank you this morning. Also, God, just thank you that we are able to just continue to press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold for us. God, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your way. We thank you for you are the word. God, I also pray for Sister Bubbly and her niece, God, Shadell. Bless her. I mean, thank you for that praise report. Also, for the healing of her niece who had knee surgery. Bless her, Jesus. Also, I pray for Michelle. Thank you for her being on the line this morning. Continue to heal Michelle and bless her. And Madison, God, bless Maddie on today. Restore her appetite. Heal her body, God, from the crown of her head, God, to the sole of her feet, God. Quicken her appetite. God, just help her, God. Bless her daughter, God. Also, just pray, you know, for each of us still, God. I pray for me. God, I didn't feel my best on yesterday. But I thank you, God, for helping me to stop and just rest. Thank you for that word that came across in our rehearsal. Wade in the water. Wade in the water. Because God's going to trouble the water. Because that was encouraging to me, God. Just to hold on. Just to hold on to your unchanging hand. And you have a work. You have a purpose. I thank you, Lord God. As Andrew said, just hold on. Don't give up. Thank you so much, God, for that. God, all I know is I love you and I trust you. No matter what it feel like, God, I trust you. No matter the you and I have you in the meantime. I have you to hold on to no matter what. God, I thank you. I praise you. In Jesus' name, my pastor call.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day of life on earth. We thank you for another day with our family and our friends. Lord, we thank you for your love, your forgiveness, your compassion, and your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, that you kept us safe due to them. Thank you, Lord, for your favor over our lives this morning, Lord. Thank you for a fresh supply of everything that we need, Lord. We thank you for just being able to see another day. We thank you, Lord, for the word that was brought forth this morning by our brother Andrew. Lord, I just pray for those who went before me. Lord, I pray for those who will go after me. Lord, I thank you for the praise report. Lord, I lift up to you the prayers that have gone before you, Heavenly Father. Lord, we come before you in faith, and we lift our hearts to you, praying for healing, and that we may feel your love and your peace, which passes all understanding, Lord. Strengthen us in our minds. Comfort us and help us and guide us. Help us to lean on you, Lord. Help us to trust you as we seek your face, Jesus. Father, I come before you in faith, believing your word that says you desire all to be saved. Lord, I just pray in the name of Jesus, those who have not confessed you as their Lord and Savior, to be drawn to you for their salvation, Lord. Lord, I just pray that you will please bless our families. Guard us, Lord, from all danger. Watch and protect over us, Heavenly Father. Go before us and behind us and around us, Lord. Lord, we pray that we lift our children to you, Lord. Lord, we just pray that you will take our children's hand, Lord. Help them not to seek the pleasures of this world, dear Lord, and help them to not be distracted by the evils of this world, Lord, but rather to seek you, to seek the pleasures from you, Heavenly Father. Lord, we just pray that you will shield them from the powers of the enemy, Lord. Surround them with your presence, Lord. Father, I ask that you will expose and destroy the schemes that the enemy has planned against them, Lord. And Lord, we just pray that you will assign your protective angels, Heavenly Father, to guard and protect them according to your perfect will, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray and lift up all marriages to you, Lord. Bless all of the marriages. Thank you for husbands and wives. Lord, teach us and help us to love and value our spouses. Show us how to be the kind of encourager that he or she needs. Lord, we just pray that you would continually guide our hearts toward each other and toward you. Lord, we cast all of our cares upon you this morning, Lord. Lord, we surrender as you fill us with your presence, Lord. Heavenly Father, we just give to you our worries and our concerns. Lord, we give to you our prayers and our dreams and our desires, Heavenly Father. And Lord, we just receive your peace, Lord. And help us to be patient, Heavenly Father, as we wait to see how your plan unfolds for us in our lives, Heavenly Father. Help us, Lord, not to give up. Help us, Lord, to hold on to you, Heavenly Father. Let us live to please you, Heavenly Father, and let us continue to worship you in spirit and in truth, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you as we go about our day, Heavenly Father. And we just pray you go to our churches, Heavenly Father, that we will worship you, Heavenly Father, that we will hear the word, Heavenly Father, and that we will live the word, Lord. We thank you and we bless you and we honor you. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. As I pass the call.
Hallelujah. Praise your holy name. Father God, we thank you for this day. Thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you for the breath of life. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that lives down on the inside of each of us. We just thank you for being you, oh God. Thank you for watching over us as we slept last night. Thank you, oh God, for another opportunity to praise your holy name. We love you. We honor you. We trust you, oh God. Father God, I come praying for those that are in the military, oh God, I pray that you keep a hedge of protection over them. I'm praying for Joshua Cheney, for Tamara Hope, for Tristan Hutchinson, for Emmanuel Jackson, for Damari Jackson, for Jalen Jones, for Jervias Jeffrey, for Joshua Jones, and for Emerson Lockett. I pray, oh God, that you give them strength in their bodies. I pray, oh God, that you keep them and they need to be kept, oh God, when they are afraid, oh God, when they know not what to do, that they know that they can call on the name of Jesus. I pray, oh God, for the heads of our cities, the heads of our state. I pray for our president, oh God, and his family, that you keep charge over their lives, oh God, and protect them in the name of Jesus. I pray for bishops and pastors. I pray for Bishop Bob Jackson, Pastor Kevin Hope, Pastor Clay Books, Pastor Gore, Evangelist Lisa Porter, Dr. Doris Lindbergh, Pastor Benson and Lady Tammy Benson, Dr. George Brown, Pastor Ricky L. Nutt and Ricky J. Nutt, Pastor Mary Strutz, Pastor Gary Montero, Pastor David Faso, Pastor William Coleman. I'm praying for Pastor Perry and Tammy Moulton. Pastor Patrick Foster, Pastor Bessie Sims, Pastor Ricky Williams, Pastor Kevin James, Pastor Ken Foreman, Pastor Kurt Foreman, Dr. David and Kathy Kamastrasi, Pastor Stan Moulton, Overseer Jeremiah Martin, Pastor Archie, Lance Jr., and Senior. I'm sorry, Pastor Archie Levias Jr. and Senior, Pastor James Bryant, Pastor Christopher Smith, Pastor Santos Howard, Pastor Aurelius Walker, Pastor Dave Ely, Dr. Dave Ely, Dr. Freddie and Dorothea Parham, Pastor Oscar Dice, Bishop Reams, Pastor Brandon and Maria Reams, Pastor Lester Cannon Sr., Pastor Claudel Huey, Pastor Joe Nobles, Bishop O.J. Williams, Apostle D. Christmas, Bishop J.W. Macklin, Pastor E.F. Brown, Pastor Kirkland Smith, Bishop Lawrence, amen. I pray, oh God, that you cover them, oh God. I pray that you send flock into the vineyard, oh God. I pray, oh God, that you continue to give them what they need to enrich your kingdom, oh God. I thank you for all those that are our leaders, oh God. We need them in our communities, and we give them honor. And we thank them, oh God, for all that they do. I pray for all my Declare Victory family, every household represented. I pray for the visionary of this line, oh God, and she needed not want of anything. Oh God, bless her family. I know she's so proud of her son, and let's continue to watch over her and her family, oh God. I pray for everyone on the wall. Thank you, oh God, for all that they do. The things that we don't know and see, we bless them, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And I pray that they continue to, that you get the glory out of everything that is done, oh God. Father God, I just thank you. I praise you. I pray for marriages, oh God. I pray that you give us, bind us in love and unity. I pray that we continue to seek your word and seek your faith, hide your word in our heart so that we may not sin against you. In the mighty name of Jesus. And Father God, I pray that you continue to use us for your glory. Let our marriages continue to represent what you put in our hearts and in our homes. Bless our children, our families, our unsaved loved ones. We pray for them, oh God, that they will get a word, be it from us or someone else. I pray for those that are homeless, without shelter, oh God. I pray, oh God, that someone will reach out and make that a change, oh God. I know that there are tents all over the city, oh God. I pray that that changes, oh God. I pray that something is done. I don't know what needs to happen, oh God, that homes need to be built and rents need to be lowered, oh God. But I know you're able to do a new thing, and I pray, oh God, that it's done in the name of Jesus. I trust you, Lord. I believe in you. I praise your holy name. I thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, I pray, and in Jesus' name, I give thanks as I pass the call.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, we just honor you this morning, Father God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that you have called us for such a time as this to come into your presence this day, Lord God. Lord God, we just give your name the glory this morning, Lord. Thank you for waking us up today, Lord God. Thank you, Father, that we come into your presence, Lord God, and we just rejoice in you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for your grace and your love and your forgiveness, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that you have wooed us this morning, Lord God, with your loving kindness. Thank you, Lord God, that you loved us first, Lord God. Thank you, Father, that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Father, we just bless your name this morning, Father. We give your name all the glory this morning, Lord God. We say that our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, that your kingdom come this morning, Lord God, and your will be done in all of our lives today, oh God. Hallelujah. We thank your name. We thank you and just praise you, Lord God, for who you are and for the mighty things that you are doing in our lives, oh God. Hallelujah, Father. We thank you, Lord God, that your word abides within us, oh God. We thank you, Father God, that you watch over your word. Can you put your phone on mute, please? You watch over your word to perform it, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that your word will never return unto you void, Lord God. It's never returned unto you void, Lord God, but your word will do exactly what you have said it will do, oh God. You'll watch over it. You'll perform it, Lord God. You'll manifest your word, Lord God. Everything you promised, the prophetic word, shall come to pass in our lives, oh God. We thank you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, for the rain that's pouring out on us, oh God. We thank you for that rain on our lives, in our churches, Lord God, in our communities, Lord God, in our families, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. We thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost that is moving and operating in all of our lives, oh God. Thank you, Father. We thank you for the power of your word. Lord God, your word says that we are troubled on every side, yet not depressed, Lord God. We are perplexed, Lord God, but not in despair, oh God. We are persecuted, but not forsaken, Lord God. We are cast down, but not destroyed. We thank you, Lord God, that no matter how it looks, no matter what it feels like, Lord God, that there is hope for us, oh God. We thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. We thank you for giving us Jesus Christ, who comes in the authority and in the power of God Almighty. We thank you that he is a representative of you here in the earth through us, oh God. We thank you, Lord God, and give your name all the glory and all the praise, oh God. We glorify your name today, oh God. We thank you, Lord God, that you're knitting us together by your love, by your spirit, oh God. We thank you, Father God, that you are joining us together in one unity and one faith, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We lift up the name of Jesus. You said in your word that where two or three are gathered together in your name, you would be in our midst, oh God. We thank you, Lord God, that you are here, Lord God. You are here to deliver. You are here to set free, oh God. You hear every spoken request, Lord God. You hear every silent prayer, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. We invoke you, Lord God. We invite you, Lord God, to be in our midst, Lord God. We invite you into every circumstance, oh God, to every situation, Lord God. We invite you, Lord God, Father God, because we know, Lord God, that your word declares, oh God, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by your spirit, oh God. It's by the spirit of the living God. And Father, we thank you right now that everything that is dead, that you will raise it up, oh God. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God, that you are the resurrection. You are the life, oh God. And we thank you that you are the great I am. Hallelujah. We bless your name this morning, oh God. You are the wheel in the middle of the wheel. You are the bright and morning star. We thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, that you are the strong tower. You are our refuge, oh God. Oh, Father God, that Father, you said that when we are weak and overwhelmed, we can come to the rock which is higher than I. Oh, that is higher, Lord God. We thank you this morning, oh God, and give your name all the glory and all the praise, oh God. We glorify you, oh God. We just declare your word be done, your will be done in our lives, oh God. We thank you, Lord God, that you have delivered us from the hand of the enemy, Lord God. We thank you, Father God, that you have translated us into your kingdom of light, oh God. We thank you, Father God, for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for the blood, the blood, the blood. The blood never loses its power. We thank you for the blood, hallelujah, that is covering us, oh God. We thank you for the blood that is on our doorpost, Lord God. We thank you for the blood, hallelujah, that there is healing in the blood, oh God. We thank you, Father God, that we are covered in the blood of the Lamb. And Lord God, we thank you. That is our word. That's our testimony, oh God, for what you have done for us, oh God. We thank you, Father God. We send forth your word this morning to heal, Lord God, and to deliver, oh God, and to set free, oh God. We thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. We glorify your name this morning, Lord God, and we thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father God,
for the authority that you have given us, oh God. We thank you, Lord God, that you have blessed us exceedingly abundantly, Lord God, and your word declares that you can do it far beyond what we can imagine or think, oh God. Lord God, we just pray, Father God, that this day you would give us this day our daily bread, oh God. You would give us everything we need this day, Lord God, that it'll bring your name the glory, Lord God. It'll bring your name the praise, oh God. We thank you, Father God. Hallelujah, Lord God, that in you, Lord God, we live and move and we have our being in you, Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you and give your name all the glory this morning, oh God. And Father God, this morning, Father, as we take our phones off mute, Lord God, we just want to Shabbat you today, oh God. Father God, we just want to rejoice in you today, oh God. We just want to say thank you, Jesus. We just want to say, Lord, we just honor you, Lord God. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father God, that you are the wheel in the middle of the wheel, oh God. We thank you, Lord God, that you are the bright and morning star. We thank you, Lord God, for your love and your abiding grace, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for your word, Lord God, that your word, Lord God, is able to do, oh God. We thank you, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, for your purposes shall be completed, oh God. We thank you, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus, that you are a strong tower, oh God. We thank you, Lord God, that the enemy is bound in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus, that your plan and your purpose, Lord God, shall be fulfilled in our lives, oh God. Father God, we thank you, Father God, that we break the back of the enemy, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord God, we lift up the name of Jesus and all our enemies shall be scattered, oh God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Father God, we make ourselves available today, Lord God, and pray that you would just use us for your glory, oh God. Use us in your will, oh God. Use us for your purpose, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, that you have sharpened our tongue, oh God. You have sharpened our wisdom, Lord God. You have sharpened us, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, and we walk in wisdom. We walk in clarity, oh God. We walk in your divine purposes, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, that our minds are covered in the blood. We thank you, Lord God, that we think like you, oh God. We have the mind of Christ, oh God, and therefore our decisions that we make, oh God, hallelujah, are being anointed by you, oh God. We thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Lord God, do a new thing in our lives, oh God. Do a new work, oh God. Do something new within us, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, spring it up, oh God, that it'll spring forth, Lord God. Father God, we just thank you, Father, and we just praise your name, Lord God. We glorify your name, Lord God. We advance your kingdom this morning, Lord God. We disengage the enemy, Lord God. We drive away, Lord God, and drive every stronghold out of our regions, Lord God, out of our homes, oh God, our land, oh God, our territory, our families, Lord God, out of the marketplace, Lord God, out of our government and our schools, Lord God, hallelujah. We disengage the enemy right now in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Father God, we just speak to him right now and just command him, Lord God, to get his hands off of our families, Lord God, and our children right now in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. He cannot have our children, oh God. Father God, we stand in the gap, Lord God, and Father God, we place a hedge of protection around our families, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We just bless your name, Lord God. Father God, and we thank you, Lord God, that you have delivered them from the power of the enemy, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God, that we are strong in you and in the power of your might, oh God. Father God, we cast out every power of the darkness, Lord God, and we submit to your power, oh God. Thank you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that we rule over the enemy, Lord God, through your power and through the authority, oh God. Thank you, Father God, for your word, Lord God, that it breaks the back of the enemy, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for the anointing that breaks every yoke of bondage, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father God, we snatch them out of the pit of hell right now, Father God. We snatch our families out of the pit of hell, oh God. Father, in the name of Jesus, our husbands and wives, oh God, we snatch them out of the pit of hell right now. Our children, oh God, in the name of Jesus, we speak, Lord God, to their minds, oh God, that their minds, oh God, and their wills, oh God, will line up to the word of God. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God, that you will put a desire within them, oh God, a desire for you, a desire for righteousness, a desire for holiness, oh God, a desire to do things right, oh God, a desire to live upright, before you, oh God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I speak this right now into the atmosphere, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that you would cause the children to come back to their parents, to their borders, oh God, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. We come against the spirit of rebellion right now, in the name of Jesus. We cast it down right now, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. We thank you for obedience, oh God. We thank you for love, oh God. We thank you, Lord God, that it's your love that will draw them back unto thee, oh God. We thank you for your kindness, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, oh God. We just bless your name this morning, oh God. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, oh God. Release your power, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We call for a release right now. We release, Lord God, those out of the pit of hell. We release, Lord God, hallelujah, Sunday. We release, Lord God, those that have been in the strongholds of the enemy, oh God. We release your power, Father God, to move and operate in churches, oh God, this morning, oh God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we release your power, oh God, in our lives, oh God, in our families, oh God. We release the power and the anointing of God. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That you will blow your breath of life. You will blow your breath of life, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that the wind of your Holy Spirit, oh God, is blowing right now. The wind of the Holy Ghost is blowing right now upon every household, Father God, that's represented here on this phone, oh God. That the wind of the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, Sunday, is blowing in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, that you are arresting those that need to be arrested right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we just bless your name this morning, oh God. We thank you, Father God. We just bless your name, oh God. We thank you, Lord God, that the power of the enemy is broken, Father God. All curses are broken of sickness and disease, oh God. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that we walk in the anointing and the inheritance that we have, oh God. Thank you, Lord God. Everything must be subject to the name of Jesus and bow down to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We bless you this morning, oh God. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father God. We thank you for the breakthrough in the heavenlies this morning, oh God. We thank you for the breakthrough, oh God. Thank you, Father God, that you are warring on our behalf this morning, oh God. You are warring on our behalf, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That which we cannot do, we know, oh God. We serve a risen God that can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ever ask or think. Thank you, Father, for watching over your word this morning, oh God. Thank you, Father God, for moving in our lives. Thank you, Father God, for being on this prayer call, oh God. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. We don't take it lightly, Lord, look, God, that you called us for such a time as this. We thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I cover everyone in the blood of Jesus that's on this call, oh God. And just declare no weapon formed against any of us will prosper, oh God. Hallelujah. No weapon formed, no weapon thrown, no weapon shed, Lord God. Hallelujah. No plan of the enemy will prosper in our lives. In the name of Jesus, only your will perform, oh God. Only your will prosper, oh God. Hallelujah. Only your will we've manifested, Lord God, in all of our lives this morning, oh God. We thank you for the mighty name of Jesus. We bless your name this morning, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father God, that we have already commanded this day. This day is already blessed. This day has already been sanctified. This day has already been ordained of you, oh God. And we go in the power this morning, oh God, and do exceedingly abundantly above this day, oh God, because we go in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Have your way.
We just bless your name, oh God. Let your will be done this morning, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord God, as we come and bring this call to a close, Lord God, thank you, Lord God, that you've heard our prayer. Thank you, Lord God, that you are moving by your spirit. We thank you, Lord God, that we will not give up. We will not cave in. We will not quit, but we will stand firm in you and in the power of your might and on the foundation of your word. We thank you right now in the mighty name of Jesus as I pass the call. Hallelujah.
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 Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Oh, how wonderful it is because Jesus promised he'd take care of us. God, we bless you this morning. Good morning. Once again, my name is Deborah, a.k.a. Bubbly, and I am your hostess this morning.
I am so grateful just to be able to be on this call this morning. Oh, God, how I bless you this morning. But by chance, did we have any first-time callers that might not have had a chance to say good morning? This is your time. Good morning. Okay, if there aren't any new callers, did any victors join the call after we got started, would like to say good morning? Good morning.
Good morning. This is Tiffany.
Hey, morning, Tiffany.
Morning.
Good morning, family. It's Moni.
Hey, good morning, Moni.
Good morning. It's Sanai J.
Hey, Sanai J. Is there anyone else?
Good morning, it's Ollie.
Hey, good morning, Sister Ollie.
Good morning, family. This is Ruth.
Hey, good morning. Praise the Lord, Saint.
Yes, praise the Lord. I have been blessed by the call this week, and I tell you, thank you.
Amen.
The good
morning. Is there anyone else that would like to say good morning?
Good morning, it's Vonda.
Hey, Vonda. How you doing?
I'm good.
Good. Is there anyone else? Well, as we prepare to go into the love, life, and victory portion of the call, I just want to remind you once again, if you aren't getting ready to speak, to please place your phone call back on mute. We thank God for this word this morning. Brother Andrew, awesome sauce, brother. Awesome word. Thank you for the difference between giving up and surrender. I have been richly blessed by that word this morning. I thank each and every one of you for allowing me to host and greet you today on this day. Have a wonderful first Sunday. Be blessed. I love you all. As I pass the call to Brother Andrew.
Love you, God bless you, Brother. Thank you, saints. Would there be anyone with any questions or comments to start off? It's often difficult to talk about how one is going to react or how one should react when the storms come, because we're taught from those of us who were raised in the church from the time that we're in the card class in Sunday school on up into the present that the storms are going to come. And for those of us who are listening who came to the Lord later in life, who didn't have that foundation as children, we're told that, you know, problems do arise and Satan is always busy. But it's a whole other thing to discuss how you're doing when you're in your storm. Because the pain is real. The heaviness is sometimes overwhelming. And there are points when we can't reach beyond the break in our faith. So that makes it a little bit more difficult. And then discussing it in the aftermath, a lot of times, if not, it's so easy to discuss where you failed. But we're here, we're family here, and we're talking about that which will make us better, that which will make us stronger and more focused. Because the Lord that guides us, He changes not. The same way he was there for Moses, He could be there for us. Joshua learned that. The same way that He was there for His son, He was there for the apostles. Paul found that out. And so talking about it, you know, does help. So if anybody has any comments on anything that I said that wasn't clear, any questions, or if you just wanted to elaborate on your own experience, please do so.
Yeah, Brother Andrew, this is Michelle.
Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning. You know, a lot of what you said makes perfect sense and pretty much right on time, as always, with God. But I'm having a difficult time, so I know talking about it helps, I know praying about it helps, but sometimes you get to that point where you're just like, enough is enough. So that's kind of where I'm at right now.
I'm sorry, you're breaking up on my end. It might be my phone. Could you say that again,
okay,
please?
Yeah, I said basically I know, you know, praying helps, and when you're going through the storm, talking to God and talking about it and praying and doing all that, I know definitely helps. But there comes a point when sometimes, and it's definitely right now for me with just me having my stroke and my daughter suffering from anorexia and has had a setback, where I'm down. I'm just like, you know, when you get to a point where it's enough is enough.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know what else to do.
Well, see, so sometimes in that quiet time when you don't know what the next step is, you just square your feet, sit, and then in prayerful contemplation, just talk to God and wait on Him. Because sometimes He doesn't answer quickly. Because when I went through my storm, I waited a long time. According to the calendar, it wasn't that long. But according to the way it felt, being in the wind, it was a long time. Each day was longer than the day before it. And when the weekend came, I didn't know when the week would get started again. Because it seemed like every hour just dragged. And those times were really lonely. I had people kind of hinting at being interested in what was going on. And then they'd be concerned on Monday, and I might not hear from them for another 5-6 weeks. And then they offered the same concern. And that human part of me would be wondering, what do you think I was going through in the last 4 weeks? You know,
right,
where were you
right.
Then? You know, and it's a very lonely time. But during those times, you realize that the only one that you can fully rely on is God Himself. And sometimes He won't answer you, but He's omnipresent. And you know from the Word that He's there. It'd be like you going to your parents' house, and you have a key because it's your parents' house. They love you. You're always welcome. And you come in from out, you know, you're living in another town, and you come in a little early, and they're still in bed. But it's maybe like 6 in the morning, and you make yourself at home because this is home. You're in their house. They're there. You know their presence is there, but they're not in the room with you, and you're not communicating. But you know you're in your Father's house, and you know He's there. So there's a peace, there's a settling in that your spirit has, where you can put your bags down, all the stuff that you carry to the place, you can put all of that down and sit down and rest. Why? Because you're in your Father's house. And before too long, He'll talk to you. He may not come in the next hour. It may not be until after 9:30 before He gets in the same room with you, but eventually He'll get there. And then when you talk to Him, you can talk to Him about everything else that's bothering you, or you can talk to Him directly about what brought you there. But He's your Father. He loves you. He's going to give you advice and direction that will not harm you. It may not be easy to do, but you know if you follow the instructions, whatever you need to get, you'll have at the end of the thing. And that's sometimes where the patience comes in, is waiting on that communion to occur when you hear His voice. Because during my situation, I had waited almost a year on the Lord. I trusted Him. I knew what the Word said. I knew His promises were yea and amen. And I was just waiting. But the longer I waited, the harder it was to wait. Because, you know, it was getting harder and harder to ignore the circumstances that were swirling around me, because they were getting worse. and I was holding on with as tightly as I could. And on one morning on the call, it was one of those days that I was just hurting, and I cried out to the Lord, and got to the corporate praise part, and I just cried. I continued to cry out, and then shortly after that, I got off the phone, and that's when Overseer Martin was on, and he said, "I don't know if Andrew's on the call, but I felt him during that prayer." And then he went on to speak a prophecy over me. And I Dion texted me and told me that, you know, she saw on the board that I wasn't on the call anymore, but I needed to replay what had been said because Overseer Martin, you know, spoke to you. Okay, so I listened. I embraced it. I thanked God for it. Okay? And I was excited, man. I was going to wait. Do you know I had to wait a year to the day after that to get my blessing? I had to wait a year. It was a year. But on that day, a year later, I signed an offer letter for my new job. But I still had to wait a year. And that was a tough year. That wasn't easy. Even though I had heard the word of the person that prophesied over me. And the Bible standard for who is a prophet is that if what they said occurs just like they said, when they said it would occur, they're a prophet. And the word came from the Lord. And that was the case. So as far as I'm concerned, he's a prophet of God. But I had to wait 12 months to the day. And the Lord, during that time, he sent the ravens to feed me. He sent folks to sustain me. But it wasn't ever like an overwhelming abundance. It was just enough to get through. So my faith still had to build. I still had to hold on. And I didn't know when. I just knew that he would do what he said. But I still had to wait a year. And that wait was tough, you know. I'd be hurting in a lot of different ways, and folks would come by meaning well, and they'd say, "God bless you, Brother Andrew. God bless you, Brother Hart." And I'm thinking in my mind, you know, when I get on those days that were just tougher than the others, I'm like, I can't fry "God bless you." I can't bake "God bless you." I can't boil it either. I need some help over here. But they'd speak to me, and they'd go on. Now, I still got blessed by what they said. And I was thankful that, you know, even at that point, they were mindful of me. But there was a depth of, like, hey, here I am, I need some help, that they weren't reaching. But I was relying on God and not the people. And God answered me. And God was right there with me. So when I speak about the I am of the storm, it's not the EYE of the storm where, you know, when there's a tornado blowing over you, you get that calm. This was God himself coming down in my storm, giving me some peace. And the peace was enough to help me wait, because the wait wasn't quick, and the wait wasn't easy. And if it wasn't for his peace, I could have never done it. But when I got to the point where I completely surrendered to him, that, you know, however long it takes, I'll wait, that's when things started turning. They didn't turn fast, but that's when they started turning. And I'm thankful that he was merciful enough to still have me around where when I did decide to surrender to him, he blessed me. And so now I can tell people that, you know, if you trust in what he said, he'll do it. Because I knew that he'd do it, but I have a deeper understanding of it now. Because this was the toughest thing I ever had to go through. And he was there with me. He was there all the time. Like the song says, waiting patiently in line. He was there all the time. And so whatever you're going through, sister, just trust him. You know, on those bad days, dive into the word and encourage yourself in what he said, that we are the head and not the tail. But we're going to have to go through stuff. and we're going to have to suffer. And here's the thing. You can't choose what you're going to suffer through. You know, Jesus said the servant is not above his master, that he suffered, we will suffer too. But if you could choose what you're going to suffer, it becomes sacrifice and not suffering. Suffering is thrust upon you. Suffering comes unawares. Suffering comes at you in the nighttime when you're not ready for it. Or it comes at you in the morning when you're not looking for it. And it hurts. The pain is real. And the suffering that you go through may not bother anybody else around you or anybody else you know. But it is real to you, and it's effective. And it can be a hindrance if you let it be. But Jesus said that, you know, suffering is a part of the game. However, his grace is sufficient. Now,
definitely
10 years from now. Yes. Yes.
And
in the pain, when you reach out to him in your pain, he will respond. You know, he's just that good. Because he's not a mean parent. He's not going to let his kids cry just to hear them cry. Okay, he's sensitive to how we hurt. He said, David said, he keeps my tears in a bottle. And that's getting real specific. You know, that God is so attentive to you that he knows how many tears you cry. Because when you're really boo-hooing, there's just a stream of water coming out of your eyes. But he counts each drop as only he can. So, like I said, no matter what you're going through, no matter how long you have to go through it, just trust him. And he'll bring you to the other side. And the relief you feel when you get there is I can't describe it. I can't describe it. The relief you feel after you lift that burden is amazing.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And it's Miss D. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Miss D. God bless you.
Thank you for that share this morning. Really powerful and very moving on my spirit. The position of surrender versus quitting, crumpling. I was thinking of a song that came up for me when you were talking. I almost gave up. I remember being at the end of my rope several times and almost giving up. When I said, you know, just hold on a little bit longer and wait for the miracle. So, you know, the storms still come, but it's getting to be where in the storm I can still dance, you know, and I'm not as fearful as I was when the storms of life show up for me. My faith has increased. My vision has changed. I don't just look at and listen to the sounds that used to make me scared that I was and let those itises come up in me, you know, all those doubts and those fears that the enemy would throw at me before. They're not so prevalent in my life today. So throughout this storm, I've really come to see how being anchored and standing on the word is so important. And I like my emotions. We had a relative pass, a great aunt pass a couple of days ago. You know, my emotions are here, but I know that God is able. You know what I'm saying? I can cry. That don't mean I can't have an emotional moment, but I know that God is able. And he's going to get me through this one just like he got me through the last ones. And with each step, the storms, the sounds, the things, the wind blowing and howling around my head, they're not as prevalent and as scary as they were in my early walk with Christ. So thank you so much, because I just can see my hands lifted up with my heart lifted up, and I'm not bowed down cowering in the middle of my storms today. I thank you for sharing your own personal testimony. I listened to you go through that year. It seems like to me it was two. But I can remember showing up every day in the middle of your life circumstances. And thank you for sharing with me this morning, sharing with us this morning. God bless you. I'm going to be on mute listening throughout the rest of the call. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Misty. God bless you. I appreciated you. Yes, good morning.
No, go ahead. I'll wait till you finish.
I just wanted to say that when you have gone through the storm and you come out the other side, then you can get those emotional moments. When your countenance falls, you don't have to fall apart. You just emote. Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus, but that didn't affect his level of faith with his father. It didn't affect what he did next, because when he went to the town of Bethany, he went there with the intention of raising him up. And so, yeah, like the thunder and the lightning, when it scares everybody else, you've seen it before. And then you've seen the sunshine come out afterwards. So, yeah, there's no fear in the storm anymore. Go ahead, sister.
I just want to say I love you. I thank you for your word on this morning. And just a reminder, it also reminded me about long-suffering, which is also a fruit of the Spirit, that nobody wants to go through that waiting, in the waiting for things. And sometimes it can be unbearable. It could be hopelessness. It could be, like I heard Michelle say, she's tired. And I can't imagine watching my child suffer through an illness. So, Michelle, you know I'm always lifting you up, the human side of us, emotional, like Ms. D said. It's okay to weep. It's okay to ask, cry out, God. But know that each storm, and thank you, Brother Andrew, because I know I've been through so many storms that I didn't ever think would end, but it's in the storm that I got my strength, and it's personal for me. I can't compare my storms to anybody else's on the call, because sometimes the healing that we're looking for may never come. But even in that, we got to be okay with that. We got to be okay with however God answers us and whatever he does, whatever the end result is. We as believers, if we truly believe that it's his will, and we got to be okay. And we have to really learn to rest in his peace. Rest when, like you said, Brother Andrew, you a whole year, you had to still rest in him through everything that you went through the doubters, through the naysayers, through the nosy people, through all of it. You have to just trust him if you're going to trust him. But it's not an easy process. We can say it until we're blue in the face, but to actually walk that thing out and walk the good fight of faith, it is a process, and we all have to get it for ourselves. We all have to say, God, you never left me before, and tap into that place. And whatever it is, that storm, what the job, the marriage, the sick child, whatever it is, trust him. If you're going to trust him, just you have to surrender. So I, too, thank you for that, the difference between surrendering and giving up. And, again, it goes back to that we win if we don't quit. So I thank God for you, that word. Amen. Love you, brother. And you just continue to keep going, and I'm proud of you. And Michelle, lifting you and Madison up, she will come through out of this, and we're going to continue to pray for her healing, her total healing, not just from the food, but the mental part of it, too, and giving you strength, because the joy of the Lord is your strength, and you do have a family lifting you up. And I know I need to do better in checking on people. So I will be talking to you later on, if not today, tomorrow. I love you. Thank you, Andrew.
God bless you. Thank you. Yeah, it's when your pain is the pain someone else is going through, it's doubly trying. But again, like the same, God gives us three different ways to fix things. He tells us to be careful for nothing, but with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make our requests known to him. That's one. The second way is to speak to the mountain. And the third way is, after you've spoken to the mountain and it's not moving, he tells you that this kind can only come out by prayer and fasting. So no matter what the storm is, you may have to try one of those ways, or you may have to try all three concurrently, but God gives you avenues to get to the other side. And a lot of times we're so sort of off balance with the way the storm manifests and how long the storm sets. And sometimes the storm just gets stronger and continues to grow in strength the longer it stays. And that keeps us off the focus. But God lets us know that there are three prescriptions for what is ailing you. And sometimes we're praying to him when he says, hey, this is a mountain. You speak to it. I gave you the authority, but you're not speaking to it. And it's going to stay there until you speak to it. And other times, like, well, you're praying to me, but you're not fasting. You've got to consecrate yourself. This is a more serious battle. So you got to get ready. Your prep has to be different. And other times is, well, you're trying to solve this through your own means. You need to come to me. Ask me. I want to know why I cast love. Yes.
This is Lisa. Awesome share. Good morning. And I thank God, like everyone said, for your testimony. And I love what Miss D and what Dee Dee said. And I would suppose that there's some other ways to deal with some other stuff, too, because he tells us to wait on the Lord and be of good cheer, and you had already mentioned mm-hmm. that to her. Mm-hmm. He also told us to stand, having done all, to stand, because things are going to happen in life, and we're going to have to stand. It's not our job to tell God what to do. It's our job to or how to do it. It's our job to obey. And I love Dee Dee for saying it's long-suffering. We have no idea how long, but we say, how long? And God is saying, I need you to suffer long through this because he suffered. So that was excellent what you were saying. I wanted to say that sometimes surrendering and giving up on the external will look like the same. And you alluded to this because, you know, you can throw your hands up and surrender, and you can throw your hands up and throw in the towel and say, I had enough. Forget it. I'm done. And you can cry to the extent of the emotional part because you're surrendering and you have to surrender because you know you pretty much conceded and you feel like you've lost the battle. Or when you're just done and exhausted, sometimes when I'm exhausted, tears just come because it's just an exhaust and it's a way of release. So on the external, they can look the same. But internally, it's so different because when we give up, then we have defeat on the inside. But when we surrender and we yield, not my will, God, not my way, not even my timing, but yours, then there's a difference because then we can find that rest and that peace. And I would suppose that there's another way that you can deal with it too. You can set your mind on those things that are lovely and pure and of a good report, and every time the enemy brings what you're going through in your mind, you'll pull it down because it sets up a stronghold. We talked about that before, and how it keeps becoming the thing that's forefront in your mind because we keep thinking about it. So we make that little bitty molehill, we make it a huge mountain. Now we got to speak to the mountain that we've helped. I'm not belittling anybody's issue. Please believe that. But we make it so big because it's in the forefront of our minds. But he said if we keep our mind stayed on him, he would keep us in perfect peace. And the last thing, I just wanted to read you my morning devotion. And it's the scripture. It's from Commanding Your Morning by Dr. Cindy Trim, and I think it fits. It says, how are you building your life? It says, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rocks. And the rains descend, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock, the solid rock, the rock of God's word. Life happens. And the thing is, no matter what, we got to keep showing up. We still got a job to go to. We still got bills to pay. We still got stuff that we got to do. Some of us have ministry, and I'm not talking about in the church. We might have other children that need our attention, and so many times our full attention is devoted to one area, and I'm speaking to myself, but our full attention can be devoted to one area that we sometimes can neglect the other things that still go on. So I love the fact that God's grace is sufficient.
It's
sufficient. It is so sufficient. And when we're weak, his strength is made perfect. And oftentimes what we go through is to work some things out of us, but it's also to build some things up in us. And God said he would not put anything on us more than we could handle without providing us a way of escape. Sometimes it's just an escape in your mind. Whatsoever things are lovely and pure and just and of a good report, think on those things. And the peace of God, that'll help us get through our situation. Because this too shall pass, and it came, to pass. Just want to share that.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you. And everything you said was right on time. And proper, because it almost, so like Miss D said, she said, my situation felt like 2 years. I had to wait 11 months before I got to the point Overseer Martin spoke over me. So it was more like two, it was really literally 2 years. I had to go through that 11 months before, you know, I saw the cloud the size of a man's hand that signified an abundance of rain coming, and it still took 12 more months. But God is good. Everything about God is good, no matter how he has you navigating. And everybody's path is not going to look the same. And externally, yeah, a lot of people, you know, those Tobiases and the sand ballots in your life will see you surrendering, and they'll act like you're giving up, that you're not doing enough to fix yourself. But it's not about, I'm not my own, I'm bought with a price. I can't fix me. I didn't make me, and if he breaks me, he has all my pieces numbered. He knows how to put me back together. And so all I have to do is trust the master's hand, the master craftsman, trust his hand in assembling my pieces. You know, he's going to glue some together. He's going to weld some together. But he's going to piece me into the structure that he needs for the next phase of my duty. And then when he needs to have me do something else, guess what? He'll break me down again and put my pieces back a different way. And I may come out looking very differently than what you saw before because he has a different task, purpose to me. And I have to be about his will because those last few storms you saw me go through that he brought me through has me even more committed to just doing it his way because it's a whole lot less painful. It's a whole lot more safe to just listen to it. We learn that as children. You know, when we look back over our childhood, all those times that you got in trouble or you made things harder for yourself when all you had to do was just listen the first time, it's like, yeah, we get that epiphany later in life, and it's just so much easier to just trust God and just do what he says. And even then, the storms will come. But then again, like, you know, you've got that ready-made anchor. And we can go to the scriptures and find out all the other people that went through something similar to us. Nothing could be worse than David running from a man that wanted him dead. There was no place in the kingdom that he could go. He even had to live with the Philistines for a while because Saul was so adamant in having him dead. And yet he still took the throne in Hebron and then took the throne in Israel. So God is awesome.
Hi, Andrew. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Thank you so much for your declaration. The analogy that you gave, like when you go to your parents' house and they're still sleeping and you just feel comfortable there. When I was in the middle of my storm, you know, the recent 5 months, I went to my mother's house, and when I slept, I was at her house for a couple of days, and I had the most peaceful sleep that I had during the whole process, and that just helped me to realize a lot of what you just said. Just being there, even though the storm hadn't subsided, just being in my mother's house, I just felt so calm. So thank you for that analogy. I can go back to that whenever I need to find the peace that you're talking about in the middle of my storm. Have a blessed day.
Amen. Bless you.
Hi, Andrew. This is Deborah Yvonne. Thank you for
Hi,
your
Deborah.
Declaration. It was really good. Hi, how are you? My goodness, that was really good because for me, I just made a choice to just follow the Lord in everything that I do and say and whatever he would have me to do or say. Like last night, there was a storm that came at me just from out of nowhere, and I could have got emotional about it. But I made a decision. I said, Lord, I can only do what you would have me to do, and there's nothing else that I can do at this point. I'm just going to pray, and I'm going to cast my care to you and leave it in your hands. Even though everything in me wanted to protect myself, I wanted to exonerate myself and to go forth, but in this walk right now, in this phase of my life with the Lord, I am trusting him no matter what storms come because I want him to do his perfect and complete work in and through me for my life and for others that he assigns to me. So in this world, we're not going to get what we need because the world is going to scream their way. So really our fight is really to put down what the world is saying to us and to really pick up his word and let his word work in and through us. Because in the long run, I know that God has our best interest. He has our best interest at all times. And these are things that I have to constantly tell myself, that God knows the end. He knows the beginning and the end. And I know that he knows everything that I need. He knows what I need to live on, my emotions, my health. He knows all. And he tells us to pray everything up to him and not to be anxious. And I really do stand on that. And I rest in him, because I have seen it over and over again in my life. Truly, you guys, when I rest in him, and it's not a matter of being lazy, it's a matter of the heart, of really trusting. So when I rest in him, I have seen him over and over again just fight my battle for me, exonerate me when I say, wow, Lord, look at you. And he has done it over and over again. He has proved himself to me. So I'm not going to trade that for anything, because I have a life that he has showed me himself to me, and I'm going to hang on to everything he has showed me, and I'm going to run with it, because his way is the best way. This world is not going to give you what you need. They're not going to tell you go on with the Lord and so forth, but I know, because him and I have an intimate relationship, which I know all of you have. So thank you.
Amen. Bless you. Yeah, what I found is that what I thought was resting when it wasn't in the Lord was just a time out. But when I rest in him, everything changes. Circumstances might not change, but everything else changes. How it affects me, my perspective, my level of strength, my level of awareness, my ability to reach out and help others, even though I'm still in my situation. And understand that they may not accept me. They may not agree with my approach. Because, you know, when you're in the game of life and, you know, you start to take some hits, everybody's a coach. Everybody's going to tell you what you're doing wrong, as if they played the same part of the game that you're in there now. Everybody wants to give you advice. Everybody wants to tell you the easiest, best thing for you to do right now. And the thing is, like I said, we are not our own. So our will is not our own. We have to do the will of our Father. Anything else, you know, sort of gets us on that path where, okay, the wind's blowing harder over here. You don't need to be over here. And so one of the things that you'll see is God starts to take people or paint people with a clearer brushstroke. You think that they're your friends, but they really don't have your best interests at heart. They're really not your friends. And if push came to shove, they take you away from his will because, you know, they love you. They just want what's best for you. And where you're going and what you're doing hurts them to see. So why don't we just stop that? And the best thing to do is stay in the will of the Father. That's the safest place. That's the place of blessing. And that's the place where that peace runs out like water. And it's just, like I said, a lot of times you can't get that clear perspective until you've been on the other side. But it's beautiful when you know it before you go through the storm. So when the storm hits, you know how to already be anchored. And you just wait till it blows over.
Hey, Andrew, the truth is that the trials and the tribulations and the pain and the hurt and everything that we go through is coming to perfect us. But what do you do till you get to the point where you're able to just say, I trust God? Truth be told, not everybody on this call is at that point where they can just trust God to that extent and that level. And what they're going through now is getting them to that place, because the trying of our faith is working patience, and patience is going to have its perfect work. It's going to be complete. We're going to be lacking nothing, but there's a process to get to that point. So in the meantime, what do? We got to keep showing up. We need the support of one another to speak life and not death. And Maddie, I want to say this because I can't identify, Michelle, I can't identify with you and Maddie to that extent. I have love and compassion for you guys, but maybe speaking to someone who has a child that's going through the same thing that loves the Lord and they're able to stand that can speak to you, because like you were saying, Andrew, we don't know specifically what someone's trial might be. So reaching out to someone as we pray, God leading us to someone that's been where we are. And they're standing and they're being successful and victorious in it. That's like a mentor. That's like a coach. Not all coaches have to experience everything we go through, but this specifically, because they can give you some practical stuff. Because we're spiritual, yes, but we're living in the natural. We're in this flesh, and there's some things that we can do, tools that God has set up that has worked and proven. Not everything may work, but there may be some ideas that someone can give you that has actually lived it or maybe living it now. Now, this is not just for Michelle. This is for all of us. I know Rabonda talks a lot about sitting down and talking to someone who's trained in the area of allowing people to express themselves. We need to be able, yes, we can't get tired and we can't be weary in well-doing. What's the well-doing? Doing what he's telling us to do, helping others, putting others before ourselves. And sometimes we do that and we don't put on our own life mask. We don't put on our own, oxygen. We're so busy trying to give. And then we end up causing detriment to our own selves.
Hey, Lisa, that's a great point. And Andrew, great share. Loved the song. I hadn't heard God Has Smiled on Me in years. Everything that everybody has said has been great. But the fact of the matter is that we are on varying levels of our walk with God. Some of us grew up in the church, or some of us have been in the church for a long time. Some of us are unchurched, but we've been, we've been in the church, or we've been saved, or what have you. One of the things that I would like to offer to Michelle, my son was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, and many of you have heard the story. I won't go into that. I can't relate to the illness that your daughter is suffering, but I can relate as a mother who had a child that was ill. I couldn't kiss the boo-boo and make it go away. It was there. It was real. It was in my face. I wasn't prepared for it, I thought, but I was prepared for it because I had the strength to go through it, and God saw me through it. What I would like to do is, so that I don't have to go through my story again, I'd like to be a blessing and give you a copy of my book, which details my story about my journey as a mom, watching my son literally die before my eyes. He didn't die. God raised him up. He's healed. They say he's in remission. I say he's healed. And so there is hope. The other thing that I would like to offer is that for the person, not just Michelle, but for the person who is, well, I'm listening to what you guys are saying, but it's still tough. Yes, it's going to be tough. God never said that our journey would be easy and problem-free. That's where we get caught up. We some people, not everybody, and not even necessarily you on the call, sometimes we believe that, or people believe that because they're saved, they're problem-free. No, ma'am, no, sir. There are times when it seems like the problems that we have are intensified even more so because we do make a stand and because we are believers. It's just the perception. What do we do in the meantime until we learn how to get to that point where we recognize what the thing is and we get extra armor and we do battle? We keep showing up to environments, to places like this. That's one of the things that we do. We make a conscious decision that we are going to equip ourselves with our sword and that we use our sword. What do I mean? You make a conscious decision that you are going to read God's word about healing or about whatever it is that you're going through. And you do it consistently. You devour the word. You devour it. And you make a choice. Either you're going to believe God or you're not. You cannot have a but in your statement. Well, this is going on, but that's not belief. And so God won't work on our behalf the way that he can when we have a but. Remember I talked to that declaration, how big is your but, your big old but? Some of us walking around with big old butts, they so big we can't even hardly walk. That's another thing that we do. We got to make a choice, not based upon how long it is, not based upon our resources, not based upon somebody told me to do this, I did it, and it didn't work, not based upon any of that. You believe, period, exclamation mark, start a new chapter. I can't see my way, but I still believe you. Even to the point where you say, thank you for waking me up this morning. I have no idea how I'm going to make it through this day.
Mm-hmm.
But I trust you.
But
I just trust you, God. That's it. There's no magic. There's no easy. Even when you get my book, Michelle, there are going to be some components that are different. And he came out, you know, we didn't go through it for years. We could have, but listen, I made a decision. You ain't taking my baby. You will not have my son. Now, I don't fight. You know, I'm not a fighter with, you know, I don't get put knuckles in my palm and you know, I don't fight. But you listen here. I will fight you about my kids. I will fight you about my stuff.
Amen. For sure. You made a good point.
Inbox me. I'm gonna put myself on me. I don't mean to cut you off. If you inbox me, I will get your address so I can send you the book. I want to be a blessing to you.
Thank you
God bless.
So much. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Amen. Now, the question was raised for those that aren't strong enough just yet. How do you get to that point? What do you do in the meantime? And everything that everyone said is right on point, but you lean on the word heavily, but you also lean on us, and us, by us I mean the interceders. That's one of the reasons why intercessory prayer is so important for those, because you're never going to fully know what someone is going through. You're never going to fully know all the things that they're facing, but we lift them before our Father with clean hearts. And the thing is, like, you have to make sure your plumb line is straight with the Lord, because David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So we have to be plugged in the right way. And then when we go before the throne, we lay these people who are on our hearts before the throne, and ask God to do his perfect will in their lives. And then we physically be there for them. Everybody won't embrace your presence because they may think that you're just here to be nosy, or you just want to be in my business, or you just came to preach at me. Everybody won't be receptive. But for those that are, just them knowing that you're caring, you're loving them, you're there for them when they need you, sometimes is enough to get them from point A to point B, because God will work it out. And they also need, and we also need it too. When you think about the full armor of God, your weapon is your sword, but you have to learn how to use it. You got to know how to rightly divide the word of truth. And so if you just have your faith, if you have your armor on but you don't practice your sword play, then you end up taking a whole lot of hits with your shield of faith, but you're not actually attacking the enemy, and we need to know how to use our sword. And so all of that works together to help us stand in the time that we need to stand the most. But again, God is awesome. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. And if you just have enough word in you to know that you can trust what he said, that's a great start. And our trials will work patience in us. And we will never fully get there until it's our last trial. And at some point, there will be a last trial. You know, and then when we actually get there, we're perfected in glory. And then when we look back over our lives, you can see all those points where he was instrumental. If not him, you would have gone down. That's when he stepped in, or he sent people on your behalf. And that was beautiful. When I was in my biggest storm, God sent people to minister to me, all sorts of people. God also showed me who I thought was on my side was not on my side, and they ran away from me. But every time that I felt lonely because people abandoned me, there'd be somebody else coming from out of the blue, unexpectedly, you know, standing in their place. And that's the beauty of how he loves us. He'll do stuff like that as only he can. And there'll be days that are tougher than others, but even in the toughest, darkest time, he's still God. He's still reachable. And sometimes all you can do is just cry to it. Because I had those days. I'm going to have more. You know, as long as I'm here on this side of the grass, there'll be days when all I can do is cry. There'll be days when all I can do is pray. There'll be days all I can do is encourage myself in the Word. There'll be days all I can do is sing to myself. And think about those times when he did deliver me, as I'm not delivered just yet, but I remember when he did it, so I'm expecting big and powerful things from my God. You know, each day is going to be different, but I still have the same things on my side. I have faith in the Word that I'm reading, and the Word that I'm reading tells me he cannot lie. My faith tells me the Word I'm reading shows that he loves me unconditionally, and he's there for me, and he is powerful enough to keep me in his hand, and nobody can take me out. So that's security right there. Now all I have to do is just endure, and that's the challenge.
It goes back to yesterday, enduring hardship as a good soldier. Okay, this is my last comment. Sorry, it's just so good, Andrew. You know, when you brought up about David, and you look at David, we got to look at the Bible as, you know, our roadmap and our example, and the stories and the characters. God used imperfect people to accomplish great and mighty tasks and feasts that he chose them specifically. And David was called a man after God's own heart. But David also made the statement, it was good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. So there's some key things in what led him up to saying that when he was on the backside of the mountain writing love songs and letters, if you will, to God, him coming through everything that he had come through. David said it was good. And then I look at Job and how Job was upright and he feared God and he was considered blameless and he turned away from evil. Even though he went through what he did, he didn't understand. He had no idea what was going on. What he said was, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Mm-hmm. See, these are not just cute sayings that these two powerful, mighty men of God said. They had real life issues. They had stuff that they were going through. But nevertheless, everything that they had gone through worked them up to the point that I'm going to trust God. I can't trace him. I don't see him. I don't feel him. But he's made me some promises that he would never leave me nor forsake me. Yes, this is for me. I know everybody else, it works for them, but guess what? His word is for me too, and I had to start believing it for myself instead of believing it only for other people, that God said he would never leave me nor forsake me, that absolutely he is with me. So even when it doesn't feel like it, it's got nothing to do with feeling.
Yeah.
Got nothing to do with my feeling.
It's not about how it feels. It's how it is. And some things are true whether you can see them or not, whether you can feel them or not, whether you've seen them before or not. Because God is truth, and he's that hard, ragged rock that you can hold on to no matter what. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that says, a man will be a shelter from the storm and a covert from the wind. You can hide in him. And when you can hide in him, Satan can't poke around and get you. You know, because he won't cross that line. And that's the beauty of it, but you can see that beauty even when you're in your storm, because he can, you know, he's going to give you that peace. We have to seek him. But again, he's omnipresent. He's already there. We don't have to reach that far to get him. And that's one of those life lessons that keeps repeating itself no matter what. And at some point, we'll get to the point where we're so comfortable with his watchful eye over us that just like the prophet was on the side of the mountain and the king kept sending the soldiers and the little servant was like, Pastor, the soldiers are coming. and he's starting to get in freak mode because they're coming after us and we have no weapons, and prophet's just saying, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. And then he kind of whispers, they that be for us are more than they that be against us. And the servant looked up, and the mountain was full of chariots of fire and angels in them, ready to go to war. And the prophet
was just,
just so calm. Just, Lord, open his eyes. You know, he ain't seeing. Just let him see. And just like that. And, like, we'll get to that point. But often we'll be, Master, carest thou now to be perish? Jesus, don't you see me? I'm hurting here. You're not helping. I cry out to you every day, but you're not listening. And there's that voice, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. Because he's there. His hand is in the storm. His hand may have stirred the storm, but if he stirred it, he can quell it too. Just let him. And the thing is, like, when you can see it and then tell somebody else that you saw it, then he gets the glory. Because it's not about how strong you were. It's about how he carried you. And he got you to that point. You know, and then, you know, that's how each one teaches what. So when we have friends and loved ones that are going through something, that you can just impart that strength. And if you do nothing else but sit in their living room, you don't have to say anything. Just be there. That does a lot. You know, if you just bring a meal by, you can't fix, you know, like the child is going through a bad treatment. You know, you can't fix that. But if you just bring a meal, if you just bring, like, a funny video of a comedy that you know they'd like, if you bring them a book that will help them, if you just do their laundry, there are little things that, if you just give them a pack of Twizzlers, that might be their favorite candy. If you just do something small, that's just going to be one of those glimpses of the goodness of the Lord that you can see in the land of the living. And that might be just enough to get you past that bad hour. And then when you look up, God is still on the throne. His hand is still reaching for you. And you can make it one more day. Because trust me, somebody's watching. And when they see you get to the end of the street on that hard walk home, then they'll be empowered to walk down their street too. And that's the beauty of us serving him collectively. We can all learn from each other's walk and gain strength by it. Because we're supposed to be all walking down the same road, just not on the same street.
God bless you, Andrew.
That was beautiful. Somebody on the call needs to hear, be still and know that I am God.
Good morning, Andrew.
I will be exalted among the heathens. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. I love that. I love that passage.
Yes.
Because he talks about, he says the Lord of hosts is with us, but he doesn't say the God of Israel. He says the God of Jacob. See, Jacob was still in transition. He hadn't yet become what he was supposed to be. Okay? And the God that kept him until he got to where he was is still keeping us. So that's where the hope lies. You know, you might not be there yet, but God is still keeping you till you get there. All you gotta do is trust it. And that's why diving into the Word is a beautiful act, because the Word is beautiful. Everything you'll ever need in this life is in there. People will tell you that it's not trendy enough. People will try to put you into a translation that takes out a whole lot. And you got to have the blood. You got to have Christ's sacrifice. You have to have the Holy Spirit being active in this world. Don't leave out the good parts. Leave it all in there. Okay? But when you dive into the beauty of the Word, you see that no matter where you are, you can find yourself. No matter what you're going through, somebody else went through something just like that. Life-threatening problems that don't look like there's any way to fix them, and all of a sudden, here come the fix. God's word is beautiful, and there are going to be days in your struggle that's all you have. Your phone doesn't ring. Nobody's texting you. Everybody seems to be out of town. Nobody's got any money. You don't have any money. You're stuck where you are, except you got the word. Again, sometimes that's all you need. And that's good to know, because some days that's all you'll have. God will give you just enough to get you to the next point. Because when you're in that state, then you have to trust in him. Then you have to rely on him. And he'll get the glory, because all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and who are the called according to his purpose and according to his plan for his kingdom. Because make no mistake, that's why we're here. We're here to give him glory and give him praise with our voices and with our lives.
Amen.
Well, thanks. I'm looking at the clock, and I'm not usually on the Sunday calls, but I think I went past everybody's time. I apologize for that. If I held somebody up for church, but it's always an honor and privilege to talk to the Lord's people about the Lord himself, and I hope that there were some words spoken that folks could get inspired from, folks could get strength from. And just remember that everybody's going through something. Right now, they'll be going through something tomorrow. There'll be others getting ready to go through a new something next week. And sometimes the new something gets added to the old somethings that are still there. Pray for each other. Pray for me. Pray for those that have just been delivered, because you got to pray them strong for the next thing coming down the road. We all need prayer, and we all need prayer all the time. And if you're praying for somebody else, that means somebody's praying for you.
Amen.
They don't have to know you. They don't have to be near you. Because I tell my friends, I got folks praying for me on the left coast. And when I'm going through something serious, I make sure they know. And you have somebody on the East Coast praying for y'all.
Amen.
Wonderful
Thank
job.
You. Thank you.
Wonderful job.
Yes.
God bless you. Bless, if, all bless mind, you. If all minds are clear,
yes.
I bid you a blessed day in the Lord, and remember me in your prayers.
Will do.
I love y'all.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Andrew.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bless. Bye. Have a good day.
Bye.
Be blessed and encouraged.